Date these visits the 21st of January 2013. Patient's name is Ruiz. First name is Rebecca. Patient is here for pain management visit, period. Mr. President, this Rebecca is a 65-year-old patient with end-stage renal disease and chronic opioid requirements due to severe beta-2 microglobulin deposition, as well as previous aseptic necrosis of the right hip. Patient presents today reporting that she feels well, but complains now of nocturnal discomfort, sounding ischemic-like of the hands and forearms, occurring nightly or on multiple occasions at night, sometimes unilateral, sometimes bilateral, with infrequent swelling of the hand, resolving when the patient is mobile, period. Patient denies difficulty in swallowing or neck swelling, period. Patient does have a history of some venous tortuosity of her bilateral accessory anterior chest wall vasculature, suggesting high venous pressures, period. New paragraph. Patient is here today reporting that her pain control otherwise with her arthritis is, quote, the same, period. Past medical history includes the above, as well as a previous left hip replacement for aseptic necrosis, history of chronic immunosuppressive therapy, previous history of bilateral tunneled hemodialysis catheters with inability to access upper vessels necessitating placement of a right thigh graft, period. Current medications are unchanged and are attached. Reviewed at this time, showing no antihypertensive therapy that might lead to symptoms of Raynaud's or digital ischemia, period. Review of systems, patient reports that she is fine otherwise, denies difficulty in swallowing, symptoms of shortness of breath, or neck swelling, period. Patient denies Raynaud's, period. Physical examination, weight, 117 pounds, blood pressure taken in the left arm of 130 over 70, in the right arm of 138 over 74, heart rate of 68 in regular, neck shows no neck vein distension, examination of the anterior chest shows serpiginous-like venous hypertension noted in the anterior chest. Upper extremities show several previous access surgeries. Her brachial pulses were 2 plus, radial pulses were trace, if at all, bilaterally. There was no evidence of decreased capillary filling of her hands, period. Cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm, lung fills are clear, abdomen is benign, extremities show no lower extremity edema, and there's a functioning right thigh graft, period. Discussion. Patient reports at this time on her current narcotic regimen, which includes at this time OxyContin, 10 milligrams, correction, 30 milligrams, Q12 hours, leading to approximately a 4 to 5 out of 5 acceptable pain control with 0 out of 5 side effect, period. Patient is currently using hydrocodone as breakthrough 5/325, utilizing continued at one tablet three times a day for activities of daily living, also being tolerated at 0 side effect out of 5, and essentially 5 out of 5 acceptable pain control, period. A new paragraph. Therefore, I will not make any changes in her current pain medicine regimen. It will also include the Soma, which she continues to take at 350 milligrams POTID, period. QID. Correction, QID, period. Also, as far as the patient's hand issues are concerned, I have a feeling this may be an issue of vasculature, being most likely affected by the great vessels from previous catheters. But the patient does have excellent blood pressures in her arms and very equal in nature, but a significant drop-off, which I suspect is distal in nature due to her vasculature of a congenital nature. Period. In the paragraph. Still, I feel I would like her seen by a vascular surgeon for the possible need that we investigate further the step off from great vessels if, in fact, we investigate and find it. Period. Therefore, the patient will be referred to Dr. Douglas Jicka for his opinion about pursuing any further investigations regarding this patient's ischemia to her upper digits, upper arms. Period. Carl Wilson, MD. Thank you. Next patient's name is Panza, first name is Frank. Please CC one copy to Dr. Lawrence Marianella. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 2 history, present illness. Mr. Panza is a 69-year-old gentleman, correction, 70-year-old gentleman, with a rather difficult last 6 months, necessitating two previous hospitalizations for syncope and then subsequently for nephrolithiasis, period. Patient is here today reporting that he feels pretty well, period. Past medical history includes a history of CKD level 2 with a GFR of 73 mLs per minute, secondary to hypertensive nephrosclerosis, period. Patient is status post triple vessel bypass in 2007 at Sutter Medical Center. Has a history of type 2 diabetes mellitus as well as mild prostatism in his status post. The stone was noted to be in the left distal ureter, which is believed to have moved down to the bladder, period. There was no hydronephrosis as noted on the CT scan of 10-11-12, period. Current medications, Levemir, 58 units sub-Q QHS, Humalog by sliding scale 3 times a day before meals. Patient is using approximately 28 units at dinner time and about 15 to 20 units on the other occasions, period. Trangetta, 5 milligrams, 1 tablet a day. Tamlosifen, 0.4 milligrams POQHS, period. Aspirin, 81 milligrams POQ day. Avastatin, 20 milligrams POQ day. Glipizide, 5 milligrams POBID. Niaspan, 1,000 milligrams ER, 2 tablets by mouth once a day. Lexapro, 10 milligrams POQ day. Coreg CR, 20 milligrams, 1 tablet POQ day. Phenofibrinate Tricor, 145 milligrams POQ day. Review of systems is negative for nausea and vomiting. He reports his appetite is, quote, good. Denies lower extremity edema. Denies chest pain, paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, recurrent syncope, period. Patient reports 2 times nocturia. Physical examination, weight, 240 pounds. Blood pressure, 122 over 80. Heart rate of 68 and regular. Next, says no neck vein distension. Lung fields are clear. Cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm. Extremities show no edema, period. Laboratory at this time shows hemoglobin and macrolide of 14.6 and 43.1 with a white blood cell count of 6,800. 221,000 platelets with a urine analysis showing specific gravity of 1025, pH of 6, clear, colorless, and no cells, period. Patient's BUN and creatinine was 25 and 1.57, which compares to his last BUN and creatinine of 21 and 1.51 for a continuation of CKD level 2, where previous glomerular filtration rate was calculated at approximately 73 mLs per minute, period. Potassium level of 4.7, calcium level of 9.3, cholesterol of 96, with triglycerides of 61, and an LDL cholesterol of 47. Hemoglobin A1C of 8.6, suggesting an average sugar of 200, which I will defer to Dr. Nakai and the patient for continued management as his diabetes needs better control, period. Uric acid level is adequately suppressed at this time at 5 with a phosphorus of 2.8. Discussion and plan. Patient is clinically stable at this time, only needs improved diabetic control, but otherwise volume status and renal function as well as blood pressure management and cardiovascular status seem to be stable. Patient will have no changes in current medication and be seen in follow-up in about 3 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Addendum to this note, patient wants me to make sure that I am aware that his hemoglobin A1C has gone from 10.1 approximately down to 8.6. So obviously there has been improved control, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Addendum to this note, the patient now informs me that recently in his ophthalmologic evaluation there is a, quote, blood vessel problem behind his right eye. This is suspicious as this patient obviously will develop some element of diabetic glomerulopathy and we will need to watch carefully for any rate change in his renal dysfunction, period. New paragraph. In addition, I will check for microalbuminuria as this patient currently is not on an ACE inhibitor, interestingly enough, which may be of some importance in delaying the progression of any renal dysfunction from a diabetic standpoint, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. The next patient's name is Jordan. First name is James. Please CC one copy to Dr. Alan Garfield. Patient's here today with chief complaint of hypertension, his present illness. Mr. Jordan is a 64-year-old gentleman. Status post, a absent right kidney, presumably congenital, with chronic hypertension, who presents today feeling well. Past medical history includes the above-mentioned hypertension as well as a history of aortoiliac disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and hypertension, period. Current medications. Current medications are unchanged since the patient's note of May 2, 2012, with the exception he is currently on generics, period. Review of systems. Patient denies nausea, vomiting, denies palpitations, headaches, dizziness, diplopia, lower extremity edema, and reports nocturia times one. Physical examination, weight 117.5 pounds, up 0.5 pound, blood pressure taken in the right arm, 122 over 78. Neck shows no neck vein distension, lung fills are clear, cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm without gallop or rub. Extremities show no edema. Laboratory at this time shows a BUN and creatinine at 29 and 1.31. This is to be compared to his prior creatinine of 1.22, at which time the patient had a GFR of 46 mLs per minute, period. This difference in level of creatinine may be of statistical significance to suggest there may have been a small diminution in renal function and might consider being repeated, period. Patient's glucose concentration is 91 milligram percent, calcium level is 10.1, cholesterol 164 milligram percent with an LDL cholesterol of 81, period. Correction, 65, period. Urine analysis showing specific gravity of 10.11, pH of 6.5, no cells present. Hemoglobin and hematocrit 13.1 and 36.8. Discussion. Patient is clinically stable at this time. His serum creatinine is statistically slightly higher than it can be expected, but not suggestive of any significant diminution in renal function, period. Patient has been chronically seen routinely on a six-month basis, and I think the only change in this plan would be to check a creatinine again in approximately 2 to 3 months in the interim between his next visit to make sure there's no progression, period. No other changes will take place at this time. The patient will be seen again in approximately 6 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Tran. First name is Marie. Please CC a formal copy to Dr. Yasiro Nakai. Also CC one copy to Dr. Michael Tran. Purpose of dictation, initial renal consultation. Dear Yashiro, thank you very much for referring Ms. Tran to me in consultation. As you are aware, she is an 80-year-old Vietnamese female who apparently was followed with insulin-dependent diabetes for long-standing with an abrupt change in serum creatinine following an operative procedure in Portland for a perforated ulcer, period. Patient was treated surgically, parenthesis laparoscopically, with creation of a pouch, correction, patch, gram patch of a duodenal ulcer on 8/3/12 by Dr. Chet Hamill at Providence Portland Health Center, period. Patient was treated with intravenous antibiotics, including Flagyl and Cipro, with postoperative complication of only H. pylori, which necessitated treatment, period. Soon thereafter, the patient was noted to have a progressive increase in serum creatinine, culminating with a level of approximately 2.5 heralding this consultation, period. Patient's past medical history, as you're aware, is a longstanding history of hypertension and type 2 diabetes mellitus, which is insulin dependent, period. Patient has no prior operative procedures otherwise, has no formal diagnosis of having proliferative retinopathy, period. Allergies, the patient is allergic to penicillin. Current medications at this time include Novolog, FlexPen, approximately 6 units at dinner time, Levemir, generally running at 12 units now at bedtime.
Yeah, generally running 11 to 12 now.
Vitamin D3, 200 international units a day, Lipitor, 40 milligrams POQ day, potassium chloride, 20 milliequivalents, 1.5 POQ day, Livothyroxine, 5 micrograms, 2 tablets a day in the morning, with Lavoxyl on an empty stomach, and the Lavoxyl is 75 micrograms a day, 1 tablet in the morning on an empty stomach. Metoprolol ER, 100 milligrams POQ day. Avastatin, 40 milligrams POQ day. Amlodipine, 5 milligrams POQ day. And clonidine, 0.2 milligrams, 1/2 tablet by mouth twice a day, which is apparently being taken with some irregularity and considered to be stopping soon, period. Social history, the patient is currently widowed, live with her son here in Santa Rosa, does not use alcohol or tobacco at this time. Previous housewife of 11 children, period. Review of systems is negative for nausea and vomiting. Her appetite is described as not good. Generally reports feeling very tired. Denies melanohematochezia. Denies abnormal bowel pattern. Reports nocturia times 3 to 4. Without paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, chest pain, or significant edema, period. Physical examination. Weight, 118 pounds. Blood pressure taken in the right arm at the present time of 180 over 80. Heart rate of approximately 68 in regular. Neck, HENT was nomospheric, atraumatic, pupils equally reactive. Fundoscopic examination was difficult to be performed, could not be viewed in the right eye due to a cataract, and the left eye showed evidence of grade 3 hypertensive retinopathy, possibly with a small dot and blot hemorrhage, could not adequately be seen. Conjunctiva was extremely pale. Posterior effects was benign, mucous membranes moist, neck supple without adenopathy, carotid 1 plus and symmetrical without bruise. No neck vein distension was noted, no thyromegaly. Lung fields were cleared, auscultation as well as percussion. Breasts were not examined. Cardiovascular point of maximum intensity was diffuse. Left medial ventricular line, S1 and S2 were heard. There was an S4 gallop. 2 to 3/6 systolic ejection murmur heard. Vessel on left sternal border. 3rd intercostal space. No diastolic murmur could be heard. Examination peripheral pulse meter 1 plus symmetrical with the radial. Brachial femorals without femoral bruise. Popliteal was 1 plus. Dorsalis pedis was 1 plus. Abdomen. Scaphoid soft. The insertion sites of the previous laparoscope were noted. Bowel sounds were hyperactive. Nervous organomegaly or masses were appreciated. No bruit was present within the abdomen. No CVA, tenderness, or precycle edema. Genital urine not examined. Rectal exam was deferred. Extremities revealed plus 1 pretibial edema. Neurologic detendency flexion not tested. Motor was approximately 3/5 in symmetrical, period. Laboratory. Most recent laboratory I have available from 1/15/13 shows a drop in serum creatinine, now down from 2.5 to 1.9 with a potassium level of 4.4, CO2 at 25, calcium of 8.8, albumin of 3.5, liver functions that are normal, a TSH level of 9.08 with a hemoglobin A1C of 10.3 for an average sugar of 249 milligram percent. Hemoglobin hematocrit of 8.2 and 23.6 with a white blood cell count of 6,900 and a platelet count of 229,000, period. Previous records reflect that the patient had a ferritin of 177, a retic count of 2.65, when her creatinine was 2.5, with an iron saturation of 31.9%, period. Vitamin B12 was obtained at 296 and a folate of 14, all of which were essentially unremarkable, period. Discussion and plan. Obviously, this patient has had significant deterioration following an intra-abdominal sepsis, which may have been a contributing factor to the progression of her disease. Alternatively, the serum creatinine last obtained of 0.96 in August was several months prior to the 2.3 and may have been a reflection of vascular issues related to rather poorly controlled diabetes, period. An additional aspect of her thyroid function needs to be addressed as well, and I'm sure Dr. Nakai has been working with the patient and family in this regard, period, in paragraph. As far as studies of the architecture are concerned, the patient did have an ultrasound showing a right kidney at 10.9 centimeters, a left at 12 centimeters, normal cortical thickness, cortical echogenicity was slightly increased bilaterally. No hydronephrosis, suggesting that this is medical renal disease, period. An MRA was performed while the patient was at Providence Portland Hospital, 8312. It states, and quote, mild bilateral renal atrophy with a poorly ill-defined hypodense lesion in the right upper pole measuring 1 centimeter. No hydronephrosis or nephrolithiasis was noted, period. No direct statement is made about the vasculature, but we are to presume that it was unremarkable, period. The conclusion was that there was indeterminate right upper pole parenchymal renal lesion. Further evaluation by ultrasound was indicated, period. No comment is made of this by a more recent ultrasound dated 1/16/13, which was not done with duplex, period. May be reasonable to repeat that ultrasound with duplex, especially in view of this patient's rather poorly controlled hypertension, which is also a third issue. The issue regarding hypertension in this patient relates to the fact that she is on several medications with questionable compliance, especially with regards to the clonidine. Clonidine may not be an optimal agent for this patient, A, in that it is sedating, especially in elderly patients. As well, it can have an effect on rebound. Despite its somewhat limited use, this may be an appropriate time to consider the use of an ACE inhibitor and or primary vasodilator, period. At present, without knowing the renal architecture specifically by duplex, I think the most reasonable thing to do is to not make change in the clonidine, but to merely increase this patient's amlodipine to 1 tablet twice a day for greater blood pressure control while we obtain some routine labs, especially a serum protein electrophoresis and immunoelectrophoresis, as this patient's degree of anemia seems to be quite disproportionate to the other areas of her renal and medical disease, period. Albeit there could still be a bleeding diathesis from her previous ulcer, but the patient denies any melanin at this time, and there is a plan for her to see GI and follow-up, period. Therefore, I would like to increase this patient's amlodipine to 1 tablet twice a day, obtain a duplex ultrasound, duplex scan of her renal arteries, obtain an immuno and electrophoresis and protein electrophoresis as well as a 24-hour urine prior to her next visit to ascertain whether this patient in fact has significantly diminished renal function as I suspect, period, in paragraph. I would also like to get report of records from Dr. Edward Feldman, the patient's ophthalmologist, regarding the degree of vascular changes that may be present, period, in a paragraph. Again, thank you very much for allowing me to assist the management of this patient's renal disease. I will assume that you are working diligently, Yashiro, on obtaining greater diabetic and thyroid management, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Hubbard's. First name is James. Please CC 1 copy 2, Dr. Robert Stewart, Dr. Stephen Halpern, Dr. Ginger Schechter at the Santa Rosa VA Clinic. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 4/5, history of present illness. Mr. Hubbard's returns today after having been seen recently several times with some declining quality of life, fluid retention, necessitating increased force diuresis and transfusion after a hospitalization for gastrointestinal bleeding resulting in a syncopal episode, period. Patient was seen January 7th, at which time he was relatively asymptomatic with a blood pressure of 120 over 70 at 87 pounds with 2-plus spitting edema and clear lung feels, showing only diminished breath sounds diffusely, period. At that time, I felt that the patient should proceed ahead to B12 injections by Dr. Holmes, as well as repeating a 24-hour calculation of his GFR with some intensified diuresis, period. Patient returns today reporting that those, quote, 4 pints of blood did the trick, unquote, period. Patient reports that he symptomatically feels better, he's eating better, and he's come back, quote, unquote, period. Past medical history includes a history of hypertension and hypertensive cardiovascular disease, status post-Q wave myocardial infarction in December of 2012, period. Patient has a history of supraventricular arrhythmias necessitating discontinuation of Coumadin after a syncopal episode with a GI bleed, showing an area on the curvature, greater curvature of the stomach thought to be the etiology in the absence of active bleeding at that time, period. Patient has a history of hypothyroidism, as well as his ischemic cardiomyopathy with diminished left ventricular performance, period. He has status post-placement of a left forearm AV fistula by Dr. Douglas Jicka, period. Current medications. Current medications are unchanged since the patient's visit of January 7, 2012, with the exception the potassium chloride is 20 milliequivalents, 3 tablets twice a day, period. Review of systems is negative for nausea and vomiting. He reports his appetite is good, denies paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, denies orthopnea, sleeps on one pillow, continues with nocturia times approximately 4, with questionable increased edema, period. Patient continues to report melanotic stools, period. The patient is on iron 3 times a day, period. Physical examination, weight, 194 pounds up 7 pounds. Blood pressure taken in the right arm at the present time of 104 over 70, heart rate of approximately 76 and regular with a few premature beats. Neck shows neck vein distension near the angle of the jaw at approximately 30 degrees. Lung feels reveal diminished breath sounds at the bases bilaterally, approximately a quarter of the way up, left greater than right. Cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm, 4 over 6 systolic ejection murmur, heard best on left frontal border, lower extremity reveal plus 4 pitting edema, period. Laboratory. Laboratory obtained since the patient's last visit on 117. The patient had an LDL, correction, had a laboratory obtained 117 showing a white blood cell count of 5,200 with a hemoglobin hematocrit of 10.4 and 32.8 and a platelet count of 115,000. Patient's glucose concentration fasting of 112 milligram percent with a BUN and creatinine of 27 and 1.47. This compares to his last BUN and creatinine, which was noted to be 29 and 1.71 for an improvement in left ventricular performance at this, correction, for an improvement in serum creatinine at this time with what would appear to be at the expense of increasing edema, period. Prior to that, on 116, the patient had a hemoglobin hematocrit of 10.6 and 33.8, BUN and creatinine of 29 and 1.66 with a potassium level of 3.5. Follow-up potassium was noted to be 3.9. A 24-hour urine was obtained on 116, which calculates to a glomerular filtration rate of 26 to 27 mLs per minute, making this patient have CKD level 4 by virtue of a creatinine clearance of 39.3 and a urea clearance of 14.4, period. Discussion and plan. Obviously, this patient has stabilized, albeit at the expense of significant volume accumulation, but without severe left ventricular symptoms. I believe that forced diuresis is indicated at this time for greater fluid removal in hopes of continuing left ventricular performance at characteristics without volume depletion and prerenal factors compromising current intrinsic renal function, which would appear to be adequate, period. Therefore, I will change the parameters under which this patient is to take his metolazone. He will be taking a 5 milligram tablet, 1/2, before his AM Lasix dose at this time, which is to be continued at 80 milligrams twice a day. He will take the metolazone at any time on his scale when his weight is greater than 184 pounds on his scale. Therefore, he will continue on 80 BID Lasix as long as his weight is under 184. When he goes to 184 pounds, the patient will add the metolazone in hopes of keeping his weight in a small range. Patient will have the above performed, making no other changes in medication, routine labs, and return to see me in 1 month, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you.